back to the Innovation Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Gagan, and today I'm going to be talking about getting into software development and why it's so easy to give up. Throughout my time in secondary school and even at the start of my college journey, I was actually interested in doing a physics degree. All the classes that I took were actually based around me doing a physics degree, but obviously I didn't do that, as now I have a computer science degree. So how exactly did that happen? Well, as I mentioned on the podcast before, I actually dropped out of secondary school in fifth year. So I needed to find some other way to go to college if I wanted to still go. So I went to the TU Dublin Access Foundation program, and I had to pick two optional classes before I started. One of those was physics, and the other one that I picked was computer science. Now, before I started, I downloaded Python, which is just a programming language. If you're not familiar with it, that's fine, don't worry. But I downloaded it and I was giving it a go. I was trying to follow some online tutorials and, you know, follow along with some videos. But honestly, I didn't really get anywhere, at least not really. So I joined the Access program honestly quite worried about doing computer science, and I honestly didn't think that I was going to be able to do it, especially because I couldn't see. I was honestly really doubtful that I would actually be able to do the class, let alone a whole degree in computer science. But it wasn't too big of a deal at the time because I wasn't even planning on doing a degree in computer science. As I mentioned, when I joined the Access program, I had to choose two classes, and I chose physics and computer science. Now, I was actually really enjoying physics, and I find it really interesting even now. But honestly, it wasn't really what I had hoped that it would be. Not that it wasn't good, or that if you're thinking of doing a physics degree, you shouldn't, but I had to do more advanced math classes, which I feel like I'm actually pretty good at math, but honestly, for somebody who can't see, doing math is actually a really big pain. Even in my computer science degree, I had to do some math classes, and although I could understand it all and I wouldn't have any problems, I would need a lot of extra time to do the math, usually. So that kind of put me off physics, but I was still really enjoying it, so I did that for my first semester. Now, with computer science, for our first semester, it was a bit more theoretical, but we also were making websites with HTML and CSS. So even that, I was worried about that, because that's quite visual, you know, but I actually ended up really loving being able to make something. I don't know if I mentioned it before, but for me, programming is kind of like art. When I was younger, I used to like making things. When I was very young, I did pottery, and I used to like to draw a lot and things like that. So getting to do programming was kind of like being able to do some of those things again. And I really fell in love with programming. So much so that I actually stopped doing physics in semester two of the Access program, but I kept doing computer science. Now, if you've known me in person, or if you know anybody who knows me, they will tell you that I will not stop asking questions. Even my dad has always said that when I was a kid, I would ask him the most random questions, and a lot of the time he'd have no idea what to tell me, but that's just me. Even throughout my degree, I've had a reputation, even with my lecturers, for asking a lot of questions. So I feel like what really helped me enjoy computer science was actually having people who would answer my questions. Thankfully, a lot of the lecturers that I've had were happy to answer my questions. And as part of the Access program, I actually did these things called PAL sessions, or peer assisted learning. So previous students from the Access program who did programming would actually come back and run these sessions. I think mine were on Saturdays. And you would go, and they would have maybe some things for you to do. Like, they'd say, oh yeah, are you guys able to write this piece of code for me or whatever? Or, you know, we'd talk about like an assignment that's coming up, or if anybody had any problems. Honestly, I think that's really where I started to realize that I was, I don't want to say good at programming, because, you know, I at the time I was just learning the basics, but where I might actually be able to pursue programming as a degree. Because I found that I could really understand a lot of these problems that we would have to do as part of the class. So much so, actually, that later on, I actually came back to run these PAL sessions. And then the year after that, I actually did it again as more of a supervisor for the new people who are running the PAL sessions. So I feel like the first problem that anybody trying to get into development will have is that maybe everything's going great for the first little while, but then you run into errors, which, I mean, as the name implies, if you don't know, it's when you've written some code, but something is going wrong. And as a beginner, it's really hard to figure out what these mean, because a lot of the time, it doesn't just say, hey, this is what's gone wrong. It prints out 100 lines of stuff, and you have to kind of read through all that to figure out what's actually going wrong, which when you're starting out, it can be really hard to actually know what part is important or what the actual problem is. Even now, I've been developing for a long time, and sometimes it's hard because it will maybe mention multiple things in the error message, and when you try and look it up, maybe nothing comes up or things come up, but it's not exactly what your problem is. So I feel like it can be really discouraging, and even for me at the time it was, and it's so frustrating because if you have an error and you don't know what the problem is, you're just stuck. There's nothing that you can really do unless you have somebody to help. So despite my frustration with, you know, getting stuck on errors, especially if I tried to make things outside of the Access program, I decided to do a computer science degree. I applied and I got in, which was absolutely fantastic. I started off in first year, and doing the Access program was actually great because honestly, I knew a lot of what we were learning in first year. But a problem that I quickly encountered is that a lot of online tutorials, a lot of lectures, a lot of examples are very visual. It's maybe a screenshot of some code, which is what I would find a lot online. Or if you were watching a video of somebody on YouTube, they wouldn't tell you what they're actually typing because they're assuming that you're going to be able to see what they're doing on the screen, which is understandable. But for me, it meant, like, what was I supposed to do? How was I supposed to figure out what they were typing? And I couldn't, was basically the short answer. Even in class, sometimes we would have a module that would be a bit more visual, or where they would want us to use a tool that didn't work with my screen reader, or it was used for like designing charts or diagrams or something like that. Even as I said in math, sometimes I would struggle because I wouldn't be able to just write things down like other people or take a picture of a board or whatever it might be. So it honestly made it quite hard sometimes to not only do the work in college, but especially if I wanted to look into things outside of college, it was really difficult because at least at first I was kind of on my own. I did actually make a lot of things outside of college. Even if I had finished my work for the week, I might start writing some other programs based on what I had learned. And to be honest, I think that's what really helped me. Because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have really understood how to program, which is something that I'm always telling people. There's a lot of people out there who know how to program, but they don't understand how to program, which that might not sound like a big deal, but it is. It's the difference between being able to get somebody who will give you explicit instructions on how to do things, and then you can figure it out from there, or if somebody just says, hey, I want this, and then you can make that, and you'll understand how to make it, what the problems are, etc. So this continued. I actually entered a competition in college. It was part of the Games Fly, which is a competition we hold, I think it's once a year. And I entered the RoboCode competition, which you essentially have to write the software for a virtual robot, and then they fight. It was actually a very fun competition. I learned a lot, and it was actually my first experience at a group project, at least one that was just about coding, which was quite strange, and I honestly think they should do more of that in computer science, because that's how most computer scientists are going to end up working. So from there, I was able to continue off my degree. I've kind of mentioned before some of the problems that I've had throughout my degree, but I eventually made it to the end of my degree, and as I mentioned before, I graduated last year with honours in my degree, which was incredible. I never would have thought a few years ago that I not only would have done a computer science degree, but that I would have actually done well at a computer science degree. Another thing that makes programming quite difficult is that there's not necessarily a right way to do things. If you are to get two developers and ask them both to do something, it's probably going to be two very different solutions that you'll get. And a lot of the time, neither of them is necessarily correct. Now, there are ways that you can do certain things better in programming, just like in really anything, but there are probably thousands of acceptable solutions to one problem, which can lead to an even bigger problem. Because how are you meant to know which way to solve something? How do you know which way is better? And if you're stuck and you're looking things up, maybe the way that somebody is doing it online isn't how it would actually work for you, isn't the way that you might understand how it works. Because that's another big problem, is that in computer science, a lot of times it's hard to find examples that are easy for an individual to understand. As I've mentioned, it's kind of like art, because every programmer has their own things they like to do, whatever way they might like to lay out their code, whether they like to use a certain type of quotes over another, whether they like to solve certain problems in certain ways, how they like to name things. It's all really different. And again, a lot of it doesn't really mean that it's wrong. This is honestly a really big problem for beginners, because especially if you're not doing a computer science degree and if you want to learn programming by yourself, it can be quite hard to find a cohesive way of learning. If you watch one video from one person and then watch one from another, it's quite likely their approaches are going to be quite different. As I mentioned, even how they name things. And as a beginner, it can be quite confusing as to why some people will name things some way and some people will name them another. For example, in programming, there's a few different naming methodologies that you can use. One of them involves underscores and the other one involves uppercase letters. And even in the classes that I've had and some students that I've taught personally, you get questions like, does it matter that they're named differently? You know, why do we use underscores, or why do we use capital letters, or which one can I use? Which one is better? Which one is right? And I remember having those questions as well when I was first starting out. And I have to tell them that, well, actually, it doesn't matter. It's just personal preference, which might seem obvious. But when you're starting out, you're like, okay, well, why do some people do it this way? You know, and a lot of programs will say, oh, well, actually, this way is better because of this or that or whatever. But a lot of it is subjective, you know. So this can be a really big problem for beginners, because, again, it makes it even harder to know how to program, as strange as that may sound. And it's really easy to get bogged down with information online, because, as I said, there's a thousand ways to do everything. So you'll find a way to do something, and then you'll read another tutorial, or, you know, you'll have somebody else who wants to look at your code and they'll be like, oh, actually, yeah, I did this, but I didn't do it that way. So then it can feel like you've done it wrong. And especially there's websites out there that are for developers to ask questions on. And one of them is called Stack Overflow. And honestly, even now, I don't like it. And it's not because I don't understand what people are posting on there, because now I do. At the start, I didn't. But a lot of developers are more interested in making themselves look intelligent as opposed to actually helping people. Especially if you say that you're a beginner, they'll just send you a link to some documentation and tell you to go read it. Which, yes, that is a great skill to have. But when you're just starting out, you probably won't understand that documentation. As I said, a lot of people are also just interested in making themselves look good. Now, there are some great people on Stack Overflow, and I've seen some amazing people who post some amazing replies. But sometimes people just post even if they don't actually know what the right answer is. And it will just be ridiculous, the things that they'll say. Now, part of that problem as well is that there's also way too many options when you're programming. Even getting started out, where do you start? Where is the starting point in programming? What is the best language to start with? Well, supposedly there's over 9,000 languages in total, and I think there's 700 in use today, which is absolutely insane. If I gave you a list of 700 things and said, yeah, you pick one of these, let me know, and you know, you can get started there. I mean, how do you know which one to pick? Which one is quote unquote the best or the easiest or the most useful? Because a lot of the languages are good at certain things. Now, there are ones that are better in general and that I might recommend to a beginner, such as a language like Python or JavaScript, but other people might tell you to go learn C or Rust, which, again, they all have their own merits. So if you look up, oh yeah, what's the best programming language to learn in 2024, you'll probably get 20 different answers, which is obviously not helpful for a beginner. And also, some of them are very different, but some of them are quite similar, even in how they're written. So there will be multiple programming languages that essentially serve the same purpose, or maybe one is essentially a newer version of another, or somebody wasn't happy with a certain programming language, which we've seen with the programming language C, where C++ was brought about to kind of make C better in a way. Don't quote me on that, because it is a bit more complicated than that, but in a basic sense, that's why. Another thing that can really cause problems is in programming, you don't just have languages, you have libraries, which are oftentimes made by other developers. Now, there are some that are made by the companies that actually make these programming languages, but a lot of them aren't, which is great, because you can find some really cool, really interesting things out there that are super useful. For example, if you're trying to store passwords from a user, there's this library you can use called Bycrypt, right? Which is great. It's really good. I'm a really big fan of it. But there's loads of different encryption libraries out there that you can use. And because a lot of them are made by individuals or other companies, you have no idea what the quality of it is going to be, especially as a beginner. And some of them have loads of documentation where they'll explain to you how it works, how to use it, all these things. Some of them have absolutely none. Or even if they do have it, sometimes it's terribly written, or it's wrong, or it's out of date. So just the quality of the resources that are out there are also just wildly different. Even on YouTube, you might find a video of somebody who's sitting there at their desk that is not a professional at all, but they're actually really great at explaining programming, you know, and the way they explain it works for you. But that video may never show up because the videos that have 100,000 views made by professionals who maybe aren't actually as good are, you know, at the top of the list. And you're going to have to go through all of those to get to that one video that works for you. So it can be really confusing because there's a lot of choices in programming. As I've mentioned, the languages, the libraries, the tutorials, there's a million courses out there and they all want your money. And a lot of them aren't good. I've heard from a lot of people who have done programming courses that they didn't learn anything, or that, yeah, they learned how to make a thing, but they don't know how to actually apply that knowledge. You know, despite these courses promising a job within 6 months or whatever else it might be, if you pay 10 or 20,000 euros, some of them are more, some of them are less, you know, then you finish up in that course and what do you do next? Because then you're just out on your own, but they didn't actually teach you how to read documentation or how to actually understand how to program. It's really important to remember, though, giving up isn't the solution. It might be hard to get into programming, but honestly, I don't want to say that programming is easy, but if you can find a video series or a course or do a degree or, you know, even know somebody that helps you understand better, then it is easy. And just don't get bogged down. Don't get stuck reading stuff on Stack Overflow, especially if you're a beginner, because you're probably not going to understand it. And even if you do, you're going to have people arguing about how this is the better way to do it or whatever. I also hate that people are always concerned about how much code there is. Somebody might post a solution on Stack Overflow and it's really long. You know, it might be 75 lines long, but I could come up with a solution that might take 10 lines. Now, you might think, oh, well, the one that's 75 lines long is probably better, but that isn't necessarily true either. In fact, it's usually the less lines you have, the better, but that's not also necessarily true, because you can write something in less code, but it could also be worse. So a lot of people are, even I remember actually when I started out in my degree, we'd be like, oh, how many lines of code did it take you? You know, and it might be like 150, and somebody else did 120, somebody else did 50, and you're like, how'd you do that in 50? You know, and some people would think that having more is better, some people would think that having less is better. As I mentioned before, looking smart online is definitely the problem. They kind of just want you to, you know, upvote their comment or whatever it might be, because you think that they're intelligent or they know what they're talking about, because everybody thinks that they're an expert in programming, but in reality, not many people are. Even me, I'm probably not an expert in programming, despite having a degree. It's also really important to not get ahead of yourself. I've actually been, I don't want to say teaching my wife how to program recently. She's been learning by herself too, but we've been doing kind of lessons together, and I'll give her work to do and she'll go off and do it. And she's actually really good and she's been doing really great. She's learned a lot. We've only been doing it now for a week and a half, 2 weeks, but she's actually progressed loads. Now, but even for her, part of the problem is people will try and get ahead of themselves in programming. And she'll come back to me, she'll have this problem, and I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, we haven't even covered this yet. You know, that's not going to work. And even for me in programming, I always wanted to go ahead and do something cooler or more complicated, add in a better feature, do something in a better way, what makes something look better, whatever it might be. But then I'd actually end up breaking everything, getting frustrated and giving up because I don't know what's going on anymore. Even now, if I just go and start using something new and don't read about it much or don't take the time to actually understand it, it's probably not going to work. I'm going to get frustrated and then I'm going to have to spend extra time trying to fix what I've tried to make instead of just actually learning about it first and then building something with it. So I think it's also really important to keep that in mind, that if you feel like you're not progressing fast enough, that's okay once you're understanding what you've learned so far. And until you can understand that, don't move on to the next thing. It's really important, because otherwise you're just going to get ahead of yourself, you're going to get frustrated, or you're going to not understand what's going on anymore, and then you're just going to give up. Basically, what I've been trying to say throughout this podcast is if you're just starting out in programming, stick with it. Don't give up, but also don't get ahead of yourself. And if you're interested in getting started in programming, do it. Give it a go. There's no reason not to. Even if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I offer lessons, but if you're not interested in that, that's totally fine. Even if it's just to say, hey, like, where should I start off? Or, hey, you know, I'm a new developer and I'm kind of struggling, you know, do you have anything that you would recommend? You know, I'd be more than happy to help, because I know how hard it is when you're getting started out. So that's it for this week. Again, thank you for listening. This is the Envision Tech Podcast, and I've been your host, Paul Gagan.